Talk about standing in your power. Wow. Thank you so much. That was beautiful. So this is the last talk of the month's theme, Standing in Your Power. We started the month off with Spirit as Powerful You. Remember that? Way back in the first Sunday of June. Then we had Reverend Savannah Riker here talking about the shadow nature and what that can give you and bring to you and how you can be empowered by that. Last week we had Peter Bolin here talking about the masculine energy, right, the fathering energy of us and how we can stand in the power of that. And so today we're going to finish up with faking it, breaking it, and making it. Because really that's kind of the way that we get to step in to that authentic power to begin with, right? Remember when we were children and we were in grammar school and we had to memorize things. We had to memorize things, right? We memorized our alphabet. We memorized our times tables. I mean, who here remembers the letter elemento, right? We had not a clue what we were talking about. We just had to memorize it. I remember that, like elemento. I don't know what letter of the alphabet it is, but we all memorized it. Didn't have a clue, but that's what it was. I mean, I was raised Catholic when I was younger, so we had lots of memorizing to do there, you know. And I remember it to this day, right? The Apostles' Creed and the, you know, all the acts of contrition and all that stuff. And who made you? God made me. Why did God make you? Because God made all things. See, I like, it's committed to memory because we learned it when we were really young. We learned God's real name was Harold, right? Right? You know, right, our Father who art in heaven, Harold, be thy name. I learned that. You know, we memorized all of that stuff when we were kids. We didn't know, what it meant. We just memorized it until it became automatic. And that's what we do with affirmations in our life. That's what we do with affirmations in our life now. And that's why we call it the faking part, right? Because it enforces the truth for us whether or not we believe it. It enforces the truth for us whether or not we think we're faking it. We can look at it and say, well, that's not the truth of me. But honestly, it is the truth of you. It may not be the current facts about you, but it is the truth of you. I am whole, perfect, and complete. I am the outpicturing of spirit. I live in love every day. Okay, may not be the facts right now, may not be showing up in your experience right now in the condition, but it is the truth of us. It is the truth of us. So we memorize those things first, those things that assist us in becoming aware of the truth that already exists. So we commit them to memory. We fake it, if that's what you want to call it. We fake it. We can't believe it's truth because we don't see it around us in our physical conditions. But we fake it. And what happens is it slowly becomes our go-to thought. It slowly becomes our first thought, our automatic thought. And what happens is it replaces the old automatic thoughts of I'm stupid, I'm dumb, I don't know anything, I can't do this, which were our go-to thoughts before. So that's the faking it part. We may not feel right saying it. In fact, we may feel like we're trying to fool ourselves, but the truth is those affirmations are the truth. So we slowly move from what else can go wrong to what else can go right. We begin to have those automatic thoughts of our affirmations instead of our fears and our doubts and our limited thinking. Does that make sense? So we come to a teaching like this, we come to a new thought teaching, and we do feel like we're faking it at first. We do feel like, oh, we're just making this stuff up and it's not true. We feel like we're fooling ourselves and we feel foolish doing it. Do it. Do it anyway. You know, we think, why should I say that if it's not the truth? Well, the truth is, it is the truth that we're affirming. It may not look like the current conditions that are surrounding us, but the current conditions change to reflect our predominant thoughts. So when we practice and practice and practice and practice and affirm and affirm and affirm, it becomes our predominant thought after a while. You know, we're narrating the story of our life all along anyway, right? Aren't you narrating it into your head all the time? You're narrating the thought of your life. You're standing on line in the bank and saying to yourself, I always get in the slowest line at the bank. or the supermarket or whatever, right? I mean, that's kind of the narration. Or you say, you know, this is easy and effortless. This is easy and effortless. And that's another narration. But, you know, you get to change the story. You get to change what that is. You get to hold the truth for your life regardless of the outpicturing in the moment. You know, we've been telling our life our whole life. And you've been narrating your life as a comedy or a tragedy or a melodrama or whatever. Whatever you've chosen. So choose again. Choose again, you know. Because when we tell it as a melodrama, we're telling it from the standpoint of the victim, you know. Oh, my God. You know, where's the Velcro? That man that left me. That job I got fired from. That boss that hates me. All that stuff happens to me. That's Kingdom One consciousness. That's the victim. It is the life steamrolling over me, and I have no effect on my life. I just showed up, and it's happening all over me. We are powerless when we're in that consciousness. We're powerless to change any of those conditions because we feel like we're at the effect of them. So we come to a teaching like this, and we learn to take responsibility for those thoughts. We are thinking our thoughts, right? Nobody else is thinking your thoughts for you. There's nobody else in there. There's just you. So we're thinking our thoughts. So sure, in the beginning, when we come to a teaching like this and we learn affirmations, and it's very, very exciting and scary, it sounds like we're making it up. And it sounds like it is false because we're so used to the other habit thoughts that flow through our minds. We've been telling that story so long, it's going to take a while before the new affirmations take hold, right? I mean, we talked about that in the What the Bleep movie, maybe? Was it the What the Bleep movie? They talk about neurons that fire together, wire together, right? So those pattern behaviors, those go-to thoughts, they've wired together. And so they become automatic at some point. So what we're doing is we're detangling them because we know the opposite is true, that neurons that no longer fire together fall away from each other. And then we create new patterns. And those new patterns are the affirmations we're telling ourselves. Those new patterns become the new go-to thought. That's the fake it till you make it part. You've heard of that, right? I know you come to new thought and that's like a really big expression. Fake it till you make it. Absolutely. And that's what we're doing when we start with those affirmations. We're faking it. It's not the truth of us, maybe. It's not, you know, the truth that we're seeing in the conditions around us. But little by little by little, it becomes the truth of us. Well, it's always been the truth of us. It becomes the facts of us. Little by little by little, we see conditions very slowly, maybe very subtly. I don't know, maybe dramatically and huge like skywriting. I haven't had that experience. But it can happen, you know. Normally, it's very slow and very step by step. Those little behaviors change because our affirmations change. We step by step start to let go of the old outdated thoughts, the old limited beliefs, the old fear thoughts, thoughts of lack, thoughts of not good enough. We start letting those go and they begin to be replaced by the God is all there is, I am one with God, this life is God's life, it's perfect, whole, and complete, it's my life now. So as we're faking it, we're continuously breaking down those old thoughts, those habit thoughts, and we're out picturing a new consciousness. So we stop the old ways, and so the old ways start to fall away. Yes? Okay, so that's really the faking it part. You know, we don't believe it at first. We don't believe it, but it becomes easier and easier to believe when those new thought patterns emerge. When the new neurological pathways become built, they become our habit patterns. And Ernest Holmes said this in Practical Application of Science of Mind, and we love being practical. He said, the action of law never changes, but the direction of the action is always up to us. Life can be a glorious adventure filled with more of every good thing as we gradually or suddenly come to change our pattern of thinking so that it embraces more of those good things. That's what we're doing. We are practicing the principles by using those affirmations. And so even if they ring false to us in the beginning, they begin to take hold, and those patterns begin to replace the old patterns. So we break down. That's part of the breaking down, right? So we're faking it, breaking it, and making it. So this is the breaking down part, or breaking through part, however you want to look at it. But we're breaking something. we're breaking the old thought patterns, and we are replacing them with new thought patterns. So we can't sit around doing the same old stuff while we're doing our affirmations. That's also part of the breaking, is that we have to break the mold not only of what we're thinking, but we have to break the mold of what we're doing. We know that everything begins in consciousness. That's why we're beginning in affirmations, right? And that's why we're beginning in prayer. Everything begins in consciousness, but it can't stay there. It has to move out into practice. We're a practical spirituality. We need tools. We have to do things. Along with knowing the truth, we have to practice. You know, because if I'm just sitting here and I'm drinking beer and eating jelly beans and I'm, you know, and I'm doing my affirmations every day about how I'm thin and fit and svelte, and it's like, it's not working. Damn it. Why is this not working? I'm not doing anything. You know, we can't just do the affirmations and then not have it translate into physical work. Spirit has to work through us. It has no other way of being in the world. So I'm wondering why nothing is different. Well, there you go. You know, I'm wondering why nothing is different. Yes, we begin in consciousness, and then it moves through us. Spirit moves through us into action in the world around us. You know, otherwise, we're just ordering spirit around. Think about it. You know, I'm going to do my affirmations, but I'm not going to do anything around my physical life. Then all we're doing is ordering spirit around. And isn't that kind of what rubbed us the wrong way about the movie The Secret? Yeah. Oh, just put your order into the universe, you know, and then it'll be delivered at your door. I don't know about you, but that is not the way it shows up in my life. You know, that's just ordering spirit around. I'm sorry, but spirit doesn't take orders from us. Just doesn't. I mean, it's not going to wait on us. It waits for us, but it doesn't wait on us. When we begin to change in mind, then that motivates us to change what we do. That motivates us to change our world. We have to then start doing things in the world differently. When we believe a different thought, when we affirm a different truth, then that motivates us to do something different. Try ordering God around. See how that works for you. Didn't work for me. God's not our handmaiden or our butler. We don't just put our order into the universe and sit back and just keep doing the same old thing and expecting it to change. Spirit changes as we change. Spirit provides change in our conditions because we become the vessel through which the change occurs. We become that clear vessel through which Spirit can then change the conditions around our lives. So that means we have to start doing different things so that Spirit can show up and do that. Spirit just doesn't take orders from us. We have to get into the game. We have to get into the game. We have to break down or break through, however you want to look at it, the old behaviors, like the sitting around drinking beer and eating donuts, you know, and watching TV and not getting any exercise. So if we're claiming and affirming that we're fit and we're svelte and we're in shape and we can and we're going to run that half marathon or whatever, you have to do something about it. You know, something has to change in the physical world so that Spirit can demonstrate through us. We break down old thought patterns, then we break down old behavior patterns, and new things emerge in our lives. Instead of beer and jelly beans, it's like a salad. You know, once in a while. Try a green salad. Don't go there. Okay. I knew it. Okay. Make friends with salad. You know, instead of the escalator, try the stairs. Do something different, you know. Instead of sitting in front of the TV when you get home, take a walk. These are all the different things that we begin to do when the affirmations start replacing the old affirmations, the false affirmations. We take the first step. We take the first step because we have changed the thoughts. Now we're changing the patterns of behavior as well as the patterns of thought. We take the first step, and then what happens? Spirit races across the field and rushes up to meet us. Isn't that the story of the prodigal son, right? As soon as the prodigal son turned around, I love that he turned around, turned back, repented is the word, reversed his course, Spirit, the father, rushes across the field, runs out to greet him and kiss him and support him, right? And this is the way it is in our lives when we turn around, when we embrace the new thought, when we head back to the truth of our being. Yeah, Spirit rushes in and fills the vacuum and works through us, as us, in the world. Ernest Holmes said this, prayer is not wishful or wistful wishing, nor is it an escape from objective reality. To be lost merely in our prayers might terminate in an unconscious desire to escape the activities of life. Therefore, we affirm divine intelligence not only knows what to do, it impels us to act on its knowing. It impels us to act on its knowing. So we can't just stand there and know the truth. We have to follow it up with action. We have to move our feet. We had this discussion on the minister's listserv. Just made me laugh, you know. It's like, well, it's not our job to do anything. All we're supposed to do is pray. No, we're supposed to pray and do something. Ernest Holmes said, treat and move your feet. You know, we can't just, look, I'll tell you one thing. If I'm at the beach and I'm drowning, I would much rather be grateful to the guy who swims out and helps me than the one standing on the sand praying for me, you know? I mean, think about it. You got to treat, I understand that, but you have to move your feet also. Logical, you know, I'm sorry. It's a practical spirituality we're in, and that's the way it is. So we break it, right? So we're faking it, we break it. We break down the old patterns of thought, we break down the old patterns of behavior by doing the new thing that we are impelled to do by Spirit, because we've been doing our practice, because we've been praying, because we've been meditating, because we've been visioning, because we're desiring something new for our lives, we're getting it. We're getting it, but that requires us to do the different things. So then we do the different things, and we keep doing them, and affirming new thoughts, and doing new things, and affirming new thoughts, and doing new things, and we don't see new results yet. But we know that something is happening, even if it's happening in the invisible, even if nothing at the level of the condition has changed in our lives, we know something is happening in the invisible realm. This is the way it works. This is the way it works. Everything begins in consciousness. And the last place it shows up is in the physical world, right? That's the last link in the chain of manifestation, is in our physical world. Ernest Holmes, in Practical Application of Science of Mind, again, the science of mind with its definite technique, which is affirmative prayer, is a statement of principles coupled with a method of practical application. He goes on to say, it not only affirms that God, universal spirit, is supreme, but it also follows that this affirmation, with the declaration that the creative principle of the universe is active in human affairs, is doing something for us right now, is creating our experience for us according to the nature of our thought, feeling, imagination, and conviction. It can only be to us what we know it is, and it demonstrates that in our world. We believe that. We believe that. Whether or not it shows up in the current conditions of our lives, we know that action is taking place. This is the way it works. And it works the same way for everybody, right? Ernest Holmes said, the law, love and law, they're impersonal and infallible. Impersonal and infallible. That means that it works exactly the same way for everybody. It works the same way all the time. It's the way it works. Just because you don't see it happening in your life does not mean you are the one and only exception to universal love and law. You know, oh, I have terminal specialness. It doesn't work for me. It works for everybody else. It just doesn't work. No, it's working exactly right. It is being the reflection of your beliefs, hopes, aspirations, desires, and what you're embodying is true for yourself. So please don't suffer from terminal specialness. Don't do that. Surrender yourself to the greater self. You are that. You're already that. That I am, I love that song. That I am, that you already are that. We are that. So faking it, breaking it, gets you to making it. It gets you to making it. You know, we fake it, we practice, we pretend, we break down those old thought patterns, we embrace new patterns, even if they're scary and even if they're not looking like they're happening, we do it anyway. And we start seeing in those little tiny steps, we start seeing changes happen. Maybe little by little, maybe gigantic skywriting. I don't know. I'd love for it to happen like that sometimes. Maybe it'd be too scary if it did. I don't know. But we keep doing it regardless of the conditions around us. And then little by little, conditions around us begin to change. We must know. We must know this. In the words of Ernest Holmes, in effective prayer. Oh, say this. Say this with me. Say this after me. Good and more good is mine.
And increasing good is mine.
There is no limit to the good that is mine.
Everywhere I see this good,
I feel it.
I experience it.
It crowds itself against me.
It flows through me.
It expresses itself in me.
And it multiplies itself around me.
That is where we're going. So we are faking it, we break down the old stuff, we break through the false, and we start making it. And that's making it. That is making it. Little steps, little changes, we start making it. We begin to build new structures in our lives, structures that support the new us that we are, the new us that we know ourselves to be. The spirit in form, having an experience on earth right here, right now. Those little penguin steps, like Jacob Glass says. And it leads to big, big, big change, doesn't it? One step at a time. One step at a time, we're making the new life. Thank you. Yeah.